Would you please join me for our reading of Scripture? Today's reading comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. Please follow along in your own Bible or with the Scriptures on the screen. Again, that is Matthew, chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. Hear the word of the Lord. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. The one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
In a Walt Disney movie called Aladdin, we meet Aladdin, who lives in the streets and who spends most of his time stealing food from the marketplace in the city of Agrabah. His adventures begin when he meets Princess Jasmine, falls in love with her, but finds out that her estranged father has other plans to have her married off. However, Aladdin's luck suddenly changes when he retrieves a magical lamp from the Cave of Wonders. When he happens to rub the lamp, a genie appears who offers to grant him 3 wishes, though all the genie really wants is his own freedom. Aladdin develops a close relationship with the genie and uses his wishes to become a prince in order to chase the affections of Princess Jasmine. Meanwhile, a power-hungry Grand Vizier called Jafar vies for the magic lamp that Aladdin has so that he can have the power to make his deepest wishes come true. When Jafar finally steals the lamp and gets 3 wishes of his own, Aladdin must rely on his intelligence to trick Jafar and save his friends, and ultimately, the kingdom. Now, why did I tell you that story? Even though Aladdin is a fun movie to watch, there is a scene in the 2019 live version movie where the genie tells Aladdin about the previous owners of the lamp and the ways that they used their 3 wishes selfishly. The wishes were always about getting more power, more riches, more fame, more of what fed into their pride and selfishness. And as I watched the movie, one thing I noticed is that with all the owners of the lamp, the genie would grant wishes without determining or even questioning if the wishes were wise or not, good for you or not. In fact, the genie would never say no and would just grant you whatever you wished. And that sounds enticing, doesn't it? To get whatever you wish for? But many of us can agree that if we did get whatever we wished for, and yeah, it was good initially, but things eventually ended up terribly wrong. You wanted that relationship so badly, and you got that relationship. But as time passed, things didn't turn out pretty. The relationship was a nightmare, and things happened in that relationship that you're still healing from today. You wanted that job so badly because you knew that with that job, you would make it. You would be finally happy. But soon enough, the hours got longer and you were doing more work than being paid. Your superiors were rude and demanding and the work environment was unhealthy, which frequently brought you stress, worry, and restlessness. Or you wanted that thing, the apartment, the house, the car. You fill in the blank. You saved for it, you sacrificed for it, and you got it. But now all your time goes towards it. All your stress and worry are because of it. And all your money is used to maintain it. But yet, we continue to want the kind of life where our wishes are always granted. In fact, many people can even treat God like some cosmic genie, using prayer to try to get God to go ahead and grant them what they wish. And you may be saying, that's not me. I don't do that. But the reality is we all can easily fall into treating God like a genie in order to get what we want. In fact, here are the three of the most common ways people, including us, can do that. The first, we only go to God when we need something. We treat God like an ATM machine and only come to Him when we need a way out. We have a transactional relationship with God where we give Him what we think He wants, like going to church, worship, prayer, tithing, or serving, so that He can ultimately give us what we want. God, I did my part. Now you better do yours. Number two, we tell God to grant our wishes exactly the way we want them to turn out. We can easily walk around with a sense of entitlement where we believe that we not only deserve what we want, but must have it when we want it. So we treat God like our own personal servant, telling Him to do what we want, and then we get mad and upset at Him when we don't get what we want exactly the way that we wanted it. We end up getting mad, lose hope, and even lose our faith. Number three, we forget about God once we get what we want. How many of us have found ourselves in a jam and pleaded with God to help us and even vowed to follow God, to change our ways, to make better decisions? Then when God comes through for us, we forget about Him, or we go back to living the way that we were living before. Then we repeat the cycle until the next emergency. You know, we're in a sermon series called Promises, finding God's hope in hopeless times, because we all need hope, especially when it comes to our lives. But the good news is that God has the answers that we need, and it comes in the form of over 7,000 promises made by God to us, found in the Bible. Such promises that can lift our weary soul and give us hope, clarity, perspective, and the courage to make it through whatever we are facing. But the reality is that if we got everything that we wanted when we wanted it, it would destroy us. Why? Because we ask with selfish motives. I mean, think about it. A child will demand for what they want. Ask any kid, and they would love to have cake and ice cream for all of their meals and will want to stay up and not go to bed. But as parents or guardians, we cannot give them everything they want, even though they cry, beg, whine, complain, because we know that if they got what they want, it would not be healthy or wise for them, but would actually cripple them in the long run. Now, if adults are technically kids who are just physically older, we too can have the tendency to just demand what we want when we want it. And a genie will give us everything that we want, but a good heavenly Father won't. Because He loves us, He cares for us, and will only give us what we need and in the time that we need it. See, when we make requests, we don't know the consequences of how those requests will play out. We're limited in what we know, but God knows everything, which is why He knows what is best for us or what is not best for us, because He loves us. And so in order to understand what is best for us, God tells us to communicate with Him and to pray, because prayer is both listening and talking to God. In fact, Jesus says that whenever we talk to God, God will hear us and will tell us what to do. Jesus says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened." Now wait a minute, Jesus. This sounds like a genie prayer. Just ask and I will get it. Just seek and I will find it. Just knock and all wishes will be granted and every dream will come true. That is why people look at scriptures like this and look to God as that cosmic genie. But let's see what Jesus actually meant when he said this. Ask, seek, and knock are commands that Jesus gives and are to be done by the person in prayer over and over and over again. Because whenever we do this, we gain God's full attention. Because prayer is how we let God know what our needs and desires are. And though God is omniscient, meaning he is all-knowing and knows what we need, whether we ask it or not, prayer is what God uses to bring us closer to him and as a result, gain the answers that we need. But here, Jesus is not simply telling his followers to pray, but he's giving them instructions on how to see answers to their own prayers. First, Jesus says, ask. However, most people go through their life and try to handle their problems on their own. They're self-reliant, so asking God to help or for answers are an afterthought. Maybe that's why it's hard for us to rely on God, because we're too busy relying on ourselves to make things happen. But when we don't ask God for help with whatever we are facing, we will never know what God could have done. Instead, we accumulate lots of wouldas, shouldas, couldas, or we think that God is too great and holy, whereas we're not, and so he doesn't have time for us, and so we don't pray. But God will not answer 100% of the prayers that we don't pray. But if we don't ask, we will never experience the miracles that God wants to do in our lives. Or we ask, but our prayers are passionless. And so we just want God to do stuff for us and care about what we want. But we're not willing to do much to care about it on our own. Jesus is not saying here that when you ask, you will always get what you want, because many times we ask with the wrong motives. That is why the more time a person spends with God, the more he or she will know what to ask for that aligns with God's will. See, this act of asking in prayer is showing a dependence on God for needs that can be met no other way. Prayer acknowledges that we have come to the end of ourselves and that we need God to intervene. And it is when we ask that God can now display his glory and power in our lives. So whatever you are worried about, ask. Whatever is in the future that you are uncertain about, ask. If there are overwhelming circumstances, ask. If you're not sure about something, ask. Then Jesus says, seek. But after we ask, we don't simply just keep asking. We must now begin to seek God. This is seeking God's will for our lives and the ways that he might be providing answers to the issues we discussed with him. The seeking helps us to go from transactional asking to now developing a deeper relationship with God. Because it is when we seek that we find God. God said through the prophet Jeremiah, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Seeking God means that we want his best and we want to care about what he cares about. God values persistence and passion in prayer because they show that we share his heart. It shows that we care about the things that he cares about. Persistent prayer gives glory to him, expresses dependence upon him, and aligns our heart more with his heart. Because whenever we seek, we will find. And what we find is God. Because when we find God, that is when we find the truth and the answers that we need. Unfortunately, many people often give up after a few half-hearted efforts and conclude that God cannot be found. But seeking God takes time. It takes faith. It takes perseverance. It takes consistency and follow through. Jesus said to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. This means putting what God wants first before what we want. God's plan before our plans. It means aligning what we want with what we know God will want and is best for us. It is doing that wholeheartedly and accepting what God wants in every circumstance, be it with our family, our career, our finances, our health, our daily decisions, all situations. It is not picking and choosing which areas we want to see God in while we leave other areas for us to manage. But seeking God means giving all of ourselves over to all of God so that he can lead all areas of our lives. Seeking God's kingdom means seeking his righteousness instead of creating a righteousness of our own apart from God. See, many of us like to ask things of God, but we don't put in the time to seek God with our ask. And when we don't spend time seeking God with our ask, what happens is we start asking with the wrong motives. We ask for what we want instead of asking God for what he wants. So when you ask, are you just asking? Or are you willing to seek what God says, even seeking what he says that may not be what you want to hear? But it doesn't stop at just asking and seeking. Jesus says to also knock. Jesus said, "Knock and the door will be opened to you." If we ever need something from someone who is behind a door, what do? Well, we knock, right? And we keep knocking until that person comes to the door and opens the door. In fact, the more urgent the need, the more urgent the knocking of the door. And God is saying for us to pray with that same intensity, that same urgency until God answers. It's praying like this: God, I'm desperate for you. I need a breakthrough in my situation. Or God, show me the way. I want your way. I don't want to start doing things my way anymore. However, there's a second part to knocking, where we don't just pray and seek, but where we take responsibility on our part to contribute to our breakthrough or healing. So for example, it is one thing to pray and seek God for a job, but the knocking is the applying, the interviewing, the preparing, and doing the hard work in order to get the job. Then as you have different job prospects, you ask and seek God to steer you accordingly. If you are someone who wants to be married, yes, it is important to ask and seek God for a spouse. But the knocking is now putting yourself in the position to be a healthy individual, to take steps to be the someone that you would want to date. The knocking is putting yourself in environments to now meet others who have similar values, similar interests as you now take those steps to relate, and as you ask and seek God to reveal who is a good fit. If you want to be in a better place financially, it is asking and seeking God, but then that the part is on you to play, whereby it's knocking, which includes things like living within your means, creating a budget that you actually stick to, cutting back on frivolous spending, getting a second job. Or people will say, "Hey God, I want to follow you. I want the kind of life that you want for me." But now the knocking is the part that you can play to contribute to that. It is coming to church consistently. It is being in community with other believers. It is spending regular time with God and getting professional help like counseling or therapy to deal with any trauma or things in your past so that you can find greater healing. See, a lot of times people can do a good job of asking God for things in prayer, but then they stop there and expect God to just come through and drop whatever it is that they're asking for on their lap. However, such people are not willing to do what they need to do on their end to seek and to knock that will contribute towards their healing, their situation, or even their circumstance. And when we ask, When we seek, when we knock, there will be opportunities that come up. But we have to be careful, because not all opportunities that come up are from God. So when opportunities present themselves, it is not just jumping at the first one, but figuring out which one brings us closer to God instead of taking us away from God. Which opportunity builds our character versus being in a position that will compromise our character. Which opportunity gives us life compared to an opportunity that will suck the life out of us. Which opportunity will build us into the likeness of Jesus, or which will take us away from that? Which opportunity will allow us to have breathing room and bandwidth, and which ones will cause us to have no margin and be stressed out all of the time? And for this reason, as you are discerning, include people that you trust who are also following Jesus into that process, who can speak into that process. And these are not just people who will tell you what you want to hear, but will be truthful and tell you what you need to hear, even if it may not be what you want to hear. That is why the knocking phase is oftentimes the most difficult, because it is in the knocking that builds perseverance that will allow us to ultimately see and accept the answers that God has for us in our prayers. And this is where you lean in on God to help to steer you, because a lot of times we run ahead of God when it comes to the decisions that we make. We want something so badly that we now almost make it seem like this is what God is telling us to do. And that may not necessarily be the case. Or we get excited about an opportunity, but then the door closes, and we get mad at God because the door closed. But the reality is that this is just an opportunity to see where God is steering you to go next. See, asking, seeking, and knocking are things that are continuously done together, and again, for all our decisions and for all of our unknowns. It is not just one and done, but rather done continuously and all at the same time. Because that is how we understand God. That is how we understand what His will is and how we ultimately can live our lives fitting to what God would want and where He would want to take us. Asking, seeking, knocking, three different actions that we utilize in prayer. The action of asking, which is verbal, where we use our mouths to tell God what we need and what we desire. Then seeking is using our mind and our heart, which goes beyond the verbal. It's putting our mind and heart in the place of God's mind and heart and syncing with Him. And then knocking involves physical movement, one in which the person moves and takes action. So ask, seek, knock for everything in your life. Jesus continues, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? Jesus gives us a question that if we have a child and they asked us for something to eat, like bread, would we give them something disastrously different and unwholesome, like a stone instead of bread to eat? Or if our child asks us for a fish, would we give them a harmful, poisonous snake instead? Of course not. However, if our child were to ask us for a poisonous snake, would we grant their request, knowing the consequence of what would happen? Of course not. Jesus continues, if you then know you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? And think about it. If we who are fallen, sinful, and selfish by nature are still able and willing to love our children and give them what is best, then Jesus is actually pointing us to our Heavenly Father, who is perfect, who is not sinful, and who is not selfish. Jesus is saying, how much more would our Heavenly Father be willing to do the same for us when we ask Him because He cares for us? Which means that if our Heavenly Father only wants what is good and what is best for us, if we pray for snakes or things that are not good for us, which we often do, we have a Heavenly Father who loves us and will not give us those things because He knows that those things can hurt us, destroy us, and take us further away from Him. That is why asking, seeking, and knocking is a must when it comes to prayer. Because it not only allows us to rely on God for our lives, it not only allows us to develop a deeper relationship with Him, but it allows us to be one with Him. A heart like His, our priorities like His, our life like His. And this only happens in relationship. See, it is dangerous to approach God as a genie, because when you do, it really just reveals that your heart is in the wrong place. And when our heart is in the wrong place, we can start asking for things that are not good for us and can even destroy us. But God is not a genie, and He is the one who is loving and sovereign over us. That is why God will respond with good things and not just anything that we like. Because if He gave us everything that we wanted, He would not be a good and loving God. So, what is something that has been on your mind that you can ask God about? Seek His will and knock as you look for the opportunities as to where He may be leading you. And how can asking, seeking, and knocking be an invitation for you to draw closer to God in deeper relationship and not just go to Him as a genie? So many times we don't have answers or direction in our lives because we don't ask God. But God wants to guide us and lead us to the most abundant life that is even more than we can ask, think, or imagine. So don't carry your worries, burdens, and uncertainties by yourself, but ask God as you seek Him and as He aligns your priorities to His priorities. This will reveal your motives and will allow you to check your why. Why are you asking for what you're asking for? Be sure to take a close look at your motives. If your motives are pure and right, then you can be confident in asking. Then knock. See how God steers you to where you need to be. Don't give up. As you ask, seek, and knock, keep going and don't give up. Because eventually the answers will come. The walls will come down and your breakthrough is inevitable. So when it comes to your marriage, ask, seek, and knock. When it comes to your parenting, ask, seek, and knock. When it comes to your life, ask, seek, and knock. When it comes to the positive test results and that upcoming surgery, ask, seek, and knock. When it comes to your biggest sin and your greatest fears, ask, seek, and knock. When it comes to your circumstance and your uncertainty, ask, seek, and knock. Because when you do, you will know that God loves you and that He wants to walk with you. Don't do life or make any decision without Him. Let Him lead you. Let Him lead you because He loves you. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, forgive us for doing life like we don't need You, or for treating You as a genie who is there to meet all our wants. God, we want to be in sync with You, so align our heart with Yours so that our prayers and our lives can reflect more of who You are and what You want for us. So whatever it is that is burdening us, we will ask, seek, and knock in prayer to You. You know, as we continue in prayer, maybe you're hearing all this and you realize that you don't have a relationship with God and that you want one. You want to experience His love and hope. You want to experience His mercy and forgiveness for your sins. And if that is what you want, then I want to invite you right now to ask Jesus to come into your life, to save you from your sins, and to transform you into the person that you were meant to be. If that is your desire today, then will you pray with me right now, saying, Heavenly Father, forgive me for all of my sins. Save me and make me new. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so I can follow you for the rest of my life. Help transform me to be the person that you meant for me to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. If you pray to ask Jesus to come into your life, then that means that you now have a relationship with the God of the universe and that you're part of his family. Please email us at info@communitycitychurch.org to let us know of your decision. And we would love to get to know you better, give you some resources to help you to grow in that relationship with God so that you can continue to walk in freedom. Now go in peace to love and to serve the Lord.